Grace, peace, and mercy are yours this day through Jesus the Christ. Amen. If you've been journeying with us through the summer, you know we've been going through the book of Acts. And if you haven't been here, now you do know that. And we've encountered a new story each day, the way that the gospel message keeps going to people of new places and differing perspectives in the early church. And so today we have this story of Tabitha, or as she is called by her Greek name, Dorcas. I can't imagine why there aren't more little girls named Dorcas these days. But the word in both Hebrew and in the Greek means gazelle, a gazelle. So kind of pretty, if you ask me. Maybe for today, though, if you hear somebody call you Dorcas, don't be offended. Luke doesn't give us much information in the story, but what's included is notable. Tabitha is the only woman in all of Scripture named a disciple. It says a disciple, Tabitha. She's the only woman. And against any notions that we might think men were to be the only disciples, this story proclaims otherwise. Ladies, you are disciples. Cling to Tabitha. We also hear that Tabitha is bringing aid to the vulnerable. She's in her city of Joppa, and there are widows there, as there are in any community, and she's making clothing and providing for these people in her community who are in need, who don't have the same resources as many others. And Tabitha's work is so important in this community that when she dies, her work dies with her. So they hear that Peter is nearby, and they say, Peter, come help us. At least give us your presence. We know that Peter got word, and he went immediately to Joppa, perhaps not even knowing what he's going to encounter. And then, upon meeting Tabitha dead, he says to her, Tabitha, get up. And she does. That's the story. Luke doesn't give us any explanation or other description, which leaves us knucklehead preachers with kind of a more difficult chore. Because we have to ask then, what does it say to us? Why might Luke have told this story? I hearken back to my preaching professor, Mike Rognes, who said in times such as this, a three-point sermon might be good. Incidentally, he said, a three-point sermon is good, but it has to have at least one. Yeah, think about that. So perhaps there might be three things. The word of Jesus keeps doing the same stuff Jesus did and does it through Jesus' followers. This is the first instance in Scripture where somebody is raised from the dead by other than Jesus. Every time I'm privileged to do a funeral, after I have the service is over, sometimes I'm walking down the pastor's hallway in Minneapolis, and if I go by Pastor Callen, he'll ask me, is the person still dead? I don't know about how many of you have been raising people from the dead lately, but I do know that people still bring healing in many ways. The followers of Jesus still care for widows and widowers. They provide food for the hungry, homes for people experiencing homelessness, community and care for people who are lonely. Followers of Jesus tell people they are loved, that they belong, that there is a holy and gracious God who is with them. And in my experience, when that occurs, it's like resurrection. The people of God keep doing the same stuff Jesus did. That's the first thing. The second, this word keeps going to people who are vulnerable. The least and the lost. Those whose hopes or status are low, or whose situation is such that they appear to be on the outside. It could be argued that this is the main revelation of the entire book of Acts. Christ's word continues to go to people we might least expect, especially those in need. especially the vulnerable, the persecuted, or the downtrodden. And thus then, perhaps a third point that we might hear is the word of Christ shatters the typical norms by how we order the world. If this message is true, death isn't the end. Death is defeated. If this message is true, gender has nothing to do with it, nor how much you have in your retirement account, or how successful you've been in relationships or in business or in education. The word of Christ is not based upon your good or bad decisions. I note that Jesus says to Nicodemus in the Gospel of John, God's Spirit is like the wind. It blows wherever it wants. Transcends everything. Try and hold back the wind. So the word of Christ does the same stuff as Jesus. It seeks of our own sin against ourselves and one another. They are no barrier for Christ's word. And so too, as Jesus' disciples, we're still being called to the vulnerable, to go to the places of darkness or exclusion in the world, to people in need. No matter what your community is, no matter what your affiliations, this word transcends it all and calls us. And thus, how is Jesus still reworking our perception of how we see the world? There's a new hope breaking forth in this story. So how will we be about it now? I don't have all the answers. We could probably discuss and discern forever and maybe not get it perfect. But we might reiterate something new for each of us today. This word is for you. The Spirit of God, the breeze of Jesus, has gusted into this place today. It has come to you. It transcends all of your allegiances, all of the brokenness, all of the places where we see that there might be an ending. It does the same stuff Jesus did. In that way, maybe